What's up, guys? Welcome to Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. We're on episode 63, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and you happen to purchase something that helps us out and, as always, helps the podcast keep on going. With me this morning is Derek. What's up, Derek?
What's up, Bob? Not much, how are you doing, man? Today?
I'm doing real good, actually. It's sunny out.
Yeah.
I was ultra productive this week.
Nice.
I completely redesigned the website.
You did, and it's awesome.
Yeah, so if you guys haven't been to the website in the past since, what, I guess it was Sunday I did that, or Saturday I did it? We have a completely new website design. I think it's definitely much better than the old design.
Huge improvement.
Huge improvement, not only in the design aspect, but how things are presented on the page. And loading times, we had issues with the old site with just old code that was in there that was just making the site load slower. We've changed a lot of things. I think it's definitely a step in the right direction. It's nowhere near completed. It's completed enough that we can put it up and have it running, but I think there's still a lot that needs fixed on it, which I am every day in the process of working on. So,
right.
But I do like it. And I'm pretty pumped about it, and I think it's very visually appealing. Almost all of the articles and everything, they all have these big photos and things that you can see. The site's wider now too, which is nice. It's very wide.
And not that I like hated the site before, but this is it's like an easier read to me.
Yeah, you can cover. I think you can cover more with this. Like, mm-hmm. You can scroll down the page and see more, and we've obviously added more photos and less text on a lot of the index pages. You know, if you go into reviews, you see a bunch more photos, big photos. You don't see as much text. There is some text there, but not a whole lot.
Yeah, it's much better now, though.
Yeah, it's easier to read. It loads super fast compared to the old site. It's just, it works really well. So I'm pretty pumped about it, and it obviously gets me excited because I know, like, it's just great when you have a new design and you can see how everything kind of turns out.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you're stoked.
Yeah, so definitely like that. And, the biggest thing for me is I think that, one, it loads faster, which I like, and two, it doesn't take up as much resources. The old site, we were having issues with that as well.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited about that. And this gives us a lot more ability to do certain things. Like, if we want to feature, you know, if we have something going on and we want to feature it, we have the ability to do that. If we want to, you know, I have the ability to feature certain articles. The homepage, I can, it's not like set. I can completely redesign it how I like. And it's all built into WordPress, but it's just the old site didn't have all of these other features, and it's just nice to have it all here.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, definitely check it out. Let us know what you think. I'm definitely excited about it. And we've already got some feedback on it, and a lot of people do really like it. And I think it just takes us to the next level. And obviously, it's very, very forward-thinking website, too. So, you know, I'm pretty pretty pumped about it.
Yeah, for sure. So, I was super surprised when you shared that link.
Yes, I did. That's it. Like, I didn't even tell anybody I was doing it. I just decided. I was like, it's enough is enough. It's been in the back of my mind to redo the website for the longest time, and I was like, I'm just going to do it. I think I stayed up till 5 in the morning or 4 in the morning doing it.
Nice. How many hours did you get into it?
Maybe 7, 6. I mean, that's just until I had it up, and then I've been fixing things along the way. So it's been, I mean, I would say total hours up till now, which has been a week, maybe 20, 25. I mean, it's been a lot, you know, because when you'll see that I didn't get all my reviews done this week. This is one of the reasons why. But when I wasn't working on getting the site or fixing it, I've been doing reviews and doing all the other stuff that I do. So it's like, you know, I've been working on it throughout. But it's definitely at a point where it's definitely a usable website, I would say, for sure. So, yeah, so definitely, guys, check it out and let us know what you think. But we will jump right into the reviews that we did do this week. And I had one of the coolest products that I think I've reviewed in a while. And it's a solid-state drive from Intel, and it is their 750 series. And I took a look at the 400 gigabyte version. And this solid-state drive is unlike any other solid-state drive that I reviewed because it is an NVMe solid-state drive. And if you don't know what that is, NVMe stands for Non-Volatile Memory Express. And basically, it's a protocol that's been designed from the ground up to capitalize on low latency and the internal parallelism of flash-based storage devices. So basically, it's fast. And it doesn't... It's fast. It doesn't use as much CPU power either. So it really... this is definitely the future. I think I said that in my review, is that this technology is amazing. Just the sustained read and write of this drive is just awesome. And it's so powerful that, like, even our tests really don't take it to its max.
Right.
You know, and that's what kind of what I said in my review, is that this is a great drive. It's an amazing drive. It's one of the most solid and fastest drives that I've ever reviewed. And it's awesome. I would say that. But I forget how much this one is going for, the 400 gigabyte. It's a little over, just under $1 a gigabyte, which now you can get a lot of drives for, you know, 30 cents a gigabyte, 40 cents a gigabyte. So the biggest thing with this is, if you want the fastest storage out there in a consumer-based drive, this would be it, I would say. But if you just want an SSD, you just want to upgrade from your current hard drive and get an SSD, this may not be for you, just for the fact that you can get something cheaper that's going to do what you want. SSDs, typical SATA SSDs, they max out around 500, 550 megabytes a second, and that's all that you're going to push. You're not going to push much more than that. A typical desktop setting, playing games, you know, doing what you would do. But now, if you, again, want the fastest storage, or you're doing any type of rendering or something where hard drive speed really, really matters, this is something you might want to look at. And it's very aggressively priced for the performance that you do get. And it does have a 5-year warranty, which is pretty great, too. So,
yeah, and it's Intel, so it's probably going to be just fine.
Yeah, it's a really great drive, and it's cool because I got to learn all about NVMe, because I've heard about it, and see all these other sites talk about it, but until you get it in your hands, you really don't get to check it out and really don't get to learn about it. And that was really fun about this review, is I really got to learn about it. So this is just an awesome drive. I will probably be replacing my desktop drive with this one.
Nice. I think I would too.
Yeah. So it's just an awesome drive. And definitely, like I said, a very good price. 400 gigabytes with this type of speed, you know, sometimes you can see something even, a lot more expensive, I would say. So really, really cool. Definitely check out my review. You get to learn a lot about NVMe, which, if you don't know anything about it, is pretty cool too. So yeah, definitely check that out. And our second review this week is a case, and this case comes from Zalman, and we haven't really taken a look at a lot of Zalman things, I think, since that whole controversy. I think, what was that, last year that happened?
Yeah, I don't remember what that was about.
They, like, went bankrupt, and the people were stealing money and all this stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But then Zalman came out and said it was the parent company and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
They're fine.
Yeah, so, but they sent us their Z9 Neo, and they sent us the white version, which is actually pretty cool. And what's really nice about this case is it comes in around the budget price. It's $68.50 on Amazon right now, which puts it kind of in that budget, kind of the higher end of the budget. Usually we see budget go to 40 to 60, something like that. But I still feel it's a budget type of case in its price, but it's loaded with features. So one of the biggest features about this case is that it comes with 5 included fans, which maxes out the available spots on this case.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, so it comes with 5 fans. That's a lot. So, you know, a lot of these cases are, you know, you're doing a build, you have to factor in the price of fans. And if you're going for high-performance fans or something like that, they're not cheap.
No,
by any means.
$30.
Yeah. So this comes with 2 fans in the front, 2 fans in the top, and 1 in the back. And the 2 fans in the top are blue LED fans. So that gives you a little bit of that bling and all that. But besides just having the fans, you have room for long graphics cards, full-size ATX power supply. You have room for, I think, 6 hard drives? 1, 2, 2, 4, 5, yeah, 6, or I think 600. I'm trying to think. Yeah. So you have room for, you know, everything that you would want. It is in a mid-tower. It's an ATX. It's really nice. I would say for the price, you're definitely getting a value out of this. There's some things that I would have liked to have seen changed. You can remove the two top 5.25-inch drive bays, but
that's good.
But there's the front only has space, or not space, but it's only there's only screw holes for like up to a 280mm radiator. You know, if you remove that top piece, you should be able to put another fan in there.
Yeah,
and it's just not there. We see it so many times in other cases that they give you that ability to, you know, maybe go up to a 360mm radiator. Same yeah. thing with the top of the case. It's only room for a 240 up there when they could have easily added more. You know, I guess it's just me thinking, you know, water cooling thinking.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but it is more of a budget case.
Yeah.
So 360 rads are starting to get, I mean, it's nice. It'd be nice, you know, it wouldn't be, it seems like to me, like it wouldn't be that difficult to make it so that you could
have more space. It's basically just like adding the screw holes more or less, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to have venting and stuff too.
Yeah. So, but I mean, again, I think for the price, for $68.50, you're getting a great value. It does have a nice side panel window. The construction's good on the back side of the case. They have the Velcro cable organizers or zip ties, nice. Which is nice. Which is something, again, you don't find on a lot of budget cases. The one biggest, I want to say this is a big downfall, but for me it was, is that except for the rear fan, the other four fans, all they have is a Molex connection. They don't have a 3-pin, which bothers me for two reasons. One is that most people will plug these fans into their motherboard. At least almost all of the major motherboards these days have quite a lot of the 3 or 4 pin connectors for fans. And with a lot of these motherboards is that you can tune your fans, which is really great. So you don't have that ability. And secondly, yeah. you have all of these fan controllers that they all use a 3-pin.
Yeah.
So if you want to use something like that, you have to buy adapters, and that comes into more cost. So,
and it makes it your install real ugly looking.
Yeah. So that was another thing that I didn't like, but I can't argue with the price of this case for what you're getting, especially the 5 fans. I just can't argue with that. It has a PSU cover, which is nice. Installation was pretty much easy, except for one issue that I had with the SSDs, which I talk about in the review how they could easily fix. But yeah, for $68.50, I like it. It's one of the better looking cases in that price range too. So
nice.
So yeah, and it's good to see the installment.
Pretty much a plastic feel.
On the front?
Construction, yeah, outside construction.
Yeah, so the top and the front are plastic, and the rest of the construction is steel.
Okay.
So that's typical for most cases these days.
Especially at this price point.
Yeah, but it's not, it didn't feel like, it didn't, the steel as well as the plastic did not feel cheap. I've seen cases, especially when you get around the $40 range, you'll see these cases where the side panels are extremely flimsy and the plastic on the front feels like if you hit it, it will break. This is not the case with this.
Yeah.
With this. So definitely, if you're looking for cases, definitely want to check out. It's great to see it from Zalman, because Zalman is one of my favorite companies, or used to be, I would say, one of my favorite companies. Yeah.
We haven't been doing stuff with them. They've been doing stuff, but mostly rehashes of older products.
Yeah, so it's good to see this. The Z9 or the Z series, I would say, has been around for a while. We've taken a look at their Z11 maybe 2 years ago or something. So, you know, but it's good because this brings in a lot of new features at a good price point, and it has all of the modern features that you would want in a case. So it's not like they're using, you know, it's not like it's. Hate to say it. I actually, Antec announced a new case this week, but I would say Antec is one of the ones that uses like the same, for a long time they had used the same case design and the same things that were like, what are you doing?
You're always picking on them. How come?
No, I like Antec a lot. you know, it's just lately with, the thing is that the competition that's out there makes it harder, right?
Yeah.
So with, you know, the big one is obviously not only just in cases, but with everything. You have the Corsair, you have NZXT, you have Fantex. I mean, you have these companies that come out with these cases that, one, aren't super expensive, and two, are designed specifically for what's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
very, very finger on the pulse of the market.
Yeah, so that's the thing. And I just, for the longest time I felt, and I'm not bleeping, I'm not the only one, that felt that Antec was just rehashing, especially internally. They'd make a different outside design, but internally they never changed anything. And that was disappointing because Antec was like the leader for a long time.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely. They were the go-to.
Yeah, but we don't need to go into that, obviously. That's a whole other conversation. But we'll jump right into Case Mod Friday. And this week we have a really cool build. And if you don't know what Case Mod Friday is, it is a section of our site where we feature a case or build that's been completed in the community. And typically it's case. Last week we featured an entire setup because it was just the most amazing thing ever.
Because we all want to be in that life.
Yes, but this week we do have an actual mod, and this one's really, really cool. The thing that really caught my attention on this one is the actual colors, which are purple and silver, which is something you don't typically see, and the amazing water cooling job on this.
It's really like the backplate.
Yeah, so basically he took a case, and he took the entire inside of the case out, the entire motherboard tray and everything, and he made his own motherboard tray that not only acts as a reservoir for the water cooling, but it also acts as – it actually has a pump built into it as well.
Yeah.
Super, super cool.
Yeah. So it's the whole dual acrylic panels, so it's got channeling in it for the reservoir, and then like that leads straight into the pump where a D5 pump mounts into it. And then that whole thing is the back panel the motherboard tray that it mounts to. So
yeah, I think we've seen these. We've seen a couple of these, and I think it's just really cool that people are doing this. I think it's like, you know, you see water cooling, and then we've got into the hard tubing, which has been a big thing. And I think that this is like the next step.
I like that he doesn't use hard tubing, actually.
Yeah, I think the tubing that he the way he has it designed here works really well.
Really well.
And he
it's has, very short runs of it, and that's kind of critical.
And he has, if you look, he has runs in the actual acrylic, so he doesn't need long tubing anyways, which is really, really cool. But he did a really cool job on this. Again, the color is just amazing on this.
We just don't see purple a lot.
Yeah,
go ahead. You got it.
I was gonna say, and it's just like, this is the purple that's throughout it. It's not just the coolant. He added purple accents on the SSD, on the power supply. He has a riser card, or PCI Express riser, that he put the graphics card on the backside of.
Yeah,
the
that's case. Something we've not seen before either.
And he's colored the actual riser cable.
Yeah, which is purple carbon fiber.
Yeah, which is again something I don't think I've ever seen. Yeah. And it's what's really cool about all of these mods is like you see things that people don't do, or you see like new things. And I think this we've seen the big acrylic with the reservoir and pump built in. I don't think we've seen it this big, and I don't think we've seen it at
used. They just not used in quite this way.
I don't think we've seen it used as a motherboard tray. As big as this, I don't think.
You're talking about, you know, all the purple accents. It's the coolant. He's got the pastel purple, which is like awesome, especially in the tubing. I really like that look. Gives it like a chalky look. Like that a lot. And then he actually, even the screws that hold the two acrylic panels together, he's got purple screws in there, anodized screws. So that's pretty sweet. Yeah. And if you look closely, I didn't notice this the first time. And I would really urge you to look at this on a desktop, because I was looking at it on a phone last night, and it looks a lot better on a full desktop monitor. But the graphics card is obviously water cooled too, but he doesn't even have tubing runs for that. He's got he's got fittings going straight into that same that motherboard or back panel piece, you know.
That is
like that is slick.
That is super cool. You don't really see that.
No, it just.
Which photo is that in?
It's like what number here? I think they're numbered, aren't they? Yeah, it's a 9. You can just see the fittings coming off of the back side of the card, and then they just go straight into that back panel.
Okay. Yeah, that is awesome. I didn't even notice that when I was, you know, looking this up. That's super cool. So that's what I mean. It's like using again, doing something different.
Yeah, I almost think it's probably hanging that way.
Yeah, that is mostly awesome.
Supported that way. But yeah, this would be a sick build to have on your desktop.
Yeah, for this sure. Is definitely something to show off. I really like it. And you know what's really cool too is if you look at the photo that's the backside of the case where the graphics card is, you can see that he built in, like, if you look at the top where the EPS power connector is, mm-hmm. is that he built into the acrylic is some cable management, which I think is also cool.
Yeah.
So again, it's these little things that you don't really see unless you're really, really looking for them. Just really, really cool. Definitely check out this mod. This is by Mackie Roll, and we featured one of his mods maybe about a year ago.
Okay.
So this is one. It's either the second or third one of his that we featured, and it's just really, really great. Definitely take a look at it. I would say this is. I mean, you know, at the end of the year, we always do our talk.
Yeah.
This is one of the ones that's going to be on there. I would say
definitely in the running for sure.
Yeah. So definitely,
which is a bold statement considering what we're talking about with the different cases we featured.
Yeah. So this is definitely one of the top ones. So definitely, great job to him. And definitely check it out. And if you're just looking for inspiration or want to just check out a ton of awesome mods, we feature them every Friday on the site. Just go to the section that says Case Mod Friday, and you can definitely check it out. It's pretty awesome.
And this was for the Thermaltake mod contest, right?
Yes, this was for the UK modding trophy.
Okay.
So yeah, it's you know what's awesome is like there's just so many of these contests now.
Yeah,
and,
it's great.
And not only there's so many contests, but there's so many, you know, all of these companies want builds for events and all of this. And I think it's just great for these modders and just the community in general. And mm-hmm. it allows more of these awesome mods to come out because, you know, just like this, all of the hardware was sponsored. And it's just, you know, it's not it's not somebody going out and saying, hey, you know, hey, Thermaltake, hey, whoever, can you give me this hardware so I can do this build? That will feature your hardware. That's how a lot of mods get done.
Yeah.
You know, with this, it's like, okay, we're going to select 5 modders. We're going to give them everything and see what they come up with. And I think that just brings so many more mods out because it makes it more accessible for these modders to build things because they're not obviously spending money every couple months building, you know, buying a whole new system.
Yeah. Before this really blew up, before the mod scene got like huge, like we were doing things, you know, we were pushing boundaries and doing everything we could and doing like real hacks and stuff and mods. But like this really lets like the real artistic talent come out because the risk is gone.
Yeah. So I really like that. So
yeah.
So yeah, guys, definitely check out this mod as well as Case Mod Friday. Ton of stuff in there. Pretty I really like this one.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely check that out. But we will move into news this week, and the big thing, which I don't know if you're that excited because you really don't, you want HBM2 and that's not happening, is that apparently today at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, NVIDIA is having a event, and it's going to be live stream on their Twitch channel, which we will have the link. We'll actually embed it on the site so you can check it out. It apparently, they are going to unveil the GeForce GTX 1080 and GTX 1070, which I feel is extremely interesting. Again, this might just be a paper launch.
Yeah, we're probably it's just a paper launch.
And I don't know if this is just a prep for Computex. So at Computex, all of these card makers can have their custom cards there.
It'll allow them to be in builds. Without them being worried about NDA.
It will allow them to be in builds, but it will also allow all of the graphics card manufacturers to have their custom cards at the show.
Yeah.
Because typically we see these launches happen at a show. We don't see them just their own event. So this is interesting. They're having an event. Everybody is saying that it's going to be the 1080 and 1070, which are both based on the same chip, if I can remember correctly. My mind's a little jumbled.
Yeah, the 1070 is cut down. Actually, they're both cut down.
Yes.
But the 1070 is more cut down.
Yeah, so definitely stay tuned. That was this story came out on Monday, and it is Friday now. So
here we are.
So I was really excited on Monday, but I wasn't sure. Nobody was specifically sure. And then everybody got that there was a real event. And then yesterday, NVIDIA confirmed, and they said they're going to be streaming it on their Twitch channel. So definitely stay tuned.
Not only the 1080 and the 1070, but they tied it in with EA's Battlefield 5 launch.
Yes.
So it's actually a dual event, right? Or supposedly?
Supposedly. We're not specifically sure yet.
Yeah, which is also another very interesting thing, because Battlefield 5 is sort of a mystery item as well, as we think it, because it might be a World War II setting.
Yeah, what I think is going to be, if they tie it in with Battlefield, I think that they're going to show off the 1070 and 1080, and right. then they're going to be like, here's what it looks like on EA's new game. And they're going to show,
it's like
at the end of the thing, they're going to talk about all the technology that went into Pascal and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then they're going to be like, okay, you want to see what it can do? And then they're going to have a demo of it playing new Battlefield.
Yeah, like you said, like Battlefield 5 at 4K on a 1080.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people are saying.
That'd be pretty cool.
So yeah, so it's definitely an exciting week. By the time this podcast comes out, it will be up later today, but the information will probably already be out there by the time you listen to this. So just check the site. We will have all the information on the new cards, because it will be official at 9 p.m. tonight, which is
kind
of exciting. So definitely stay tuned for that. Talking about that stuff, all this week we've had leaks of a lot of products that aren't out yet. So the first one is, just like we talked about, is the GeForce GTX 1080.
I don't think any of them are actually leaks. I think this is like information that's been just slipped on purpose.
Yeah, kind of.
at this point, you know.
So the GeForce GTX 1080. First of all, what everybody's saying is that it's going to have 8 gigabytes of GDDR5X running at 10 gigahertz, which is fast.
It's just incredibly fast.
For comparison, a GTX 980 Ti has 6 gigabytes of GDDR5. That's the non-X version, and it's only running at 7 gigahertz. So that's a nice performance bump there.
Yeah, not only do you get 2 more gigabytes, but it's faster. That's even harder to urge speeds with.
So. Yeah. So going back to the results here, they ran it through 3D Mark 11 on the performance setting. And the graphics score was 27,683. So for reference, a GTX 980 Ti scores anywhere from 23,000 to 25,000. So you definitely see a nice performance bump there. And then the Firestrike, not as impressive, still beats it, but not as impressive. But you have to realize this is not the Ti version of the card. This is just the normal version. The Ti should be the full version of the card,
which is fine so long as it's priced appropriately.
Yes. So it's good to see that we're seeing this nice performance bump at least. These still might not be the actual release cards. These might be test cards and things like that.
And drivers that aren't set.
Yeah, and drivers that aren't optimized either. So we could see even more performance. You have, with all these things that we're going to talk about, you have to keep that in mind, for sure.
So what would you think would be the optimal price for a 1080 then?
I don't know, because if you look on the, which we'll talk about here in a second, if you look on the AMD side, they're going to be doing some pretty, if the all the rumors are true and everybody's talking about, AMD is going to be doing some pretty awesome stuff in the 3350 range.
You know? NVIDIA, when was the last time they had a flagship card never that was in $300 range?
Yeah, you know? I don't even know. What's the 980 Ti selling for?
6 something.
So I would say if we go based on that, I would say this card would be...
It's down to 650 right now.
So... Again, I would say this card would be around that price. Maybe if they wanted to if they wanted to be aggressive, even lower. I mean,
I don't think you can be more than the 980 is current. Even the 980 at 560 is too much, I think.
Especially with everything coming out, yeah.
Yeah. I think that it has to be like right around 500 or even a little less.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
We should have that information tonight.
A lot of that will be dependent on if the NVIDIA rumors are actually true.
Yeah.
Since they're launching first, they'll probably come out higher.
Yeah.
you know.
Do you think that this launch was just to beat AMD on the release?
Sure, especially if they think they're going to lose.
Because AMD had everybody's saying Computex for AMD. That's what they're saying. So, you know, get them a couple weeks ahead of time. But again,
well, they'll put them out, and all their fans will just buy them. They'll instantly. Oh, it beats everything AMD has. It beats everything AMD has right now. And then,
that's the biggest thing that they can say is they can say it beats everything out there.
Yeah.
Every single chip card out there it will beat. And the reason they might launch early is because maybe AMD is going to beat them.
AMD, if these performance rumors are true and the price rumors are true, which is key, especially the price part, you will see an exodus from NVIDIA.
Yeah, I would just hope jumping that ship. You know, they've done some really great things. The driver has been the big thing that I thought was so smart.
That's the major key, yeah.
Yeah, it was so smart because that's something that had needed, and the AMD fans, especially even the fanboys, have just been crying out to AMD to fix it, and they've done it, and from what I've heard, it's worked really well.
I couldn't see owning one. I have owned AMD cards, and I got rid of them quickly. I'm like, you can't play things with these. The drivers just didn't work in the past, but now you fixed your drivers. You're doing good things. If your cards come out faster at a lower price point, nobody's going to hesitate.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting month, I would say, for graphics cards, and to see where actual performance is. And we're talking about that. We had an AMD leak this week on the AMD Radeon R9 480, and this is the non-X version. Keep that in mind. So this is
what does the non-X version mean?
So there's like an R9 380, and there's like an R9 380X, much like a 980 and a 980 Ti.
Okay,
it's like the high version.
Okay.
So, what's interesting is that the R9 480 replaces the R9 380.
Right.
And the R9 380 right now is $200. And this is going to effectively replace that. So according to this rumor and these benchmarks is that the R9 480, again, non-X, performance was very, very close to an R9 390X.
Oh, wow.
And an R9 390X is selling for $600.
Wow.
So if you think about that, you know, you're going to get performance of an R9 390X, which again, sits around $600.
Yeah.
You know,
for in a $200 price range.
Well, not 200, it'd probably be 350.
Why do we think that?
It's actually probably like just based
on if it's replacing the R9 380 at 200, shouldn't it come in at 200?
No.
No.
Because it has new, it's gonna be a little bit more expensive, but it's gonna be, you know, like anywhere like the R9 480, the R9 480X, the R9 490, and R9 490X, they'll be from like, I would say, 300 to 400 in that price range.
Okay.
But it's very interesting, and this is the biggest thing that we're seeing is that. AMD has really claimed this generational leap between the old cards and these new cards.
Yeah.
Especially with Polaris. So this, and we saw leaks last week too on this, is that these are really performing this well. So if you're going to get, you know, an R9 390X, you know, that's going to offer up performance of a $600 GPU for $350, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's, again, that's something that NVIDIA has to worry about.
Yeah, I think that that's great for the whole market.
Yeah, so, again, this is just a early benchmark. Don't know, you know. But it's very, very interesting, I would say.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
Like, NVIDIA has kind of ran away with their pricing, you know? Because they've been pretty well stomping AMD into the ground.
Yes.
This will bring things right back around. I think this is... I hope this is what happens because the market needs it.
Yeah, for sure. So we will definitely see, and as soon as we get more leaks, especially on the AMD side because their cards aren't going to be announced and the NVIDIA cards are being announced later today. We will definitely keep you updated on all of that. And we'll move from there over to
processors. Still exciting tech news.
Yes, more processors. So there's three processor leaks this week, which is kind of awesome. So the first are performance leaks, and these come from the Broadwell E line. This is Intel's next generation high-end desktop line, coming after Haswell E. And the top processor in that line is the Core i7-6950X. And this will be the first 10-core consumer CPU. So with hyper-threading, you have 20 logical CPUs, 25 megabytes of L3 cache, and of course the quad-channel DDR4 controller.
Right.
And this was run through Cinebench R15, which is kind of like the one of the standard benchmarks. We always run it in all of our tests. And it was run through that against the Core i7-5960X, which is the highest end Haswell chip. Now that is an 8-core processor, and this is a 10-core processor. So there is a difference there. It ran about, in Cinebench, it ran about 19.5% faster, which is expected because you have the two extra cores running there.
But it is good to see that the cores are being utilized.
Yes. And then the two chips were also run through 8 to 64 memory tests. And the memory read speeds were pretty much the same, which is expected. But the write speeds were 37% higher on the i7-6950X.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. So it's good to see these come out. These are, again, expected to be around Computex time. So we'll definitely keep you updated on that. But it's exciting. A lot of people are excited about this, and the new Broadwell E stuff will bring with it a whole lot of new X99 motherboards, which I'm excited for.
Yeah,
For sure. So definitely. Stay tuned for that.
Yeah, good time for high end desktop users.
Yes, and another processor in the Broadwell E high end desktop was actually pictured, and it was tested. This is the i7-6850K. And this one is the 6-core version. That is 12 logical CPUs with hyper threading, 15 megabytes of L3 cache, and it has a clock speed of 3.6 gigahertz, according to this leak.
Nice.
And it was tested in the 3DMark Firestrike Extreme. And what you want to look at when it comes to CPU performance in this test, of course, is the physics score. And in the physics score, it was 14.9% higher than the older 5820K, which it is replacing.
Right.
Which is nice. So you get a nice boost of performance there.
Yeah.
It was also run through Cinebench, as we talked about. And it was 10% higher there. And it was also run through Super PI 32 million, where it beat out the older processor. By about 10 seconds. 10-11 seconds. So again, we're seeing good performance here on these. Again, with these, you are just going to see a slight, with all these Intel, you're going to see a slight performance bump.
Yeah, that's actually 11 second gain on Super PI is actually a pretty good margin,
I would say,
for a single core performance, which says a lot about the architecture.
Yeah,
so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so Broadwell E is definitely coming. So if you're looking to get into high end desktop, I would just wait until it launches if that's what you're looking to do. Intel. It's like a lot of Intel. Intel review, all these Intel leaks.
I love Intel chip news.
Intel's Core i7-7700K, that is the Kaby Lake processor. It has been detailed. So this is, of course, what is going to replace the Skylake chip, the 6700K.
The basically still new 6600K.
Yeah. 6700K.
Or 67, yeah.
So, this is a lot of this was expected, but it's been confirmed now. by a leaked benchmark. But the chip is clocked at 3.6 gigahertz with a turbo boost up to 4.20 gigahertz. That is a little weird. We think that's the reason is for the lower clock speed is because it is an ES chip. It might have been clocked lower. And this is very, very early for this chip as well. So,
yeah, when do we have any idea on launch?
I'm not sure.
Oh, it is.
It's late in the year usually for these.
I was gonna say because I didn't even expect to see a leak about this yet. Really.
Yeah. So that's why we think that this is the low clock because the i7-6700K has clock speeds of 4.0 gigahertz and 4.2 gigahertz.
Yeah.
So.
And this should be a refined version of that essentially.
Yes.
So, because this is a TOC, right? or wait, they got rid of the TikTok. So
it's 14 nanometer. It's the same as Skylake.
It's a tick,
so it's 14 nanometers, so the same as Skylake. It's 14 nanometer. Now, in the Kaby Lake, or, you know, that's the code name for it, compared to Skylake, it's rumored to be more energy efficient than Skylake. It's going to be built on the same LGA 1151 package. So your 100 series motherboard, the Z170, will support it. And then the 200 series motherboards that will come out when these launch will also support it, obviously.
Gotcha.
So this is the third mainline CPU architecture from Intel that's based off the 14 nanometer. So as you said, we don't have TikTok anymore. So with 14 nanometer, we had Broadwell. Then we just had Skylake, and now we're going to have Kaby Lake.
Gotcha.
So yeah, it is. It's interesting. The only thing that I can think about is if they do keep that 3.60 gigahertz, which is very odd to me, is that maybe some people were having heat issues with Skylake running at 4 gigahertz all the time, like just with crappy coolers, maybe.
It could be an energy efficiency thing too.
Yeah.
But they're just like, you just don't need 4 gigahertz to idle.
Yeah, and again, if you can set your processor quite easily to run at the top speed.
Yeah, you can easily disable turbo boost and just leave it.
Yeah, so again, not sure, but it's good to see this stuff come out because it just means we're getting closer to the launch of these. Which is exciting.
But don't worry if you have a Skylake processor, it's not dated quite yet.
Yeah, usually when we see these, we see a 100 megahertz boost in performance, and then you have a better energy efficiency typically when you see these refresh. So finally, out of the hardware or the main hardware stuff, we have some exciting news for Google Chrome. Is that what browser you use?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, you use Google Chrome. I use Google Chrome for the most part.
I have every browser installed, but yeah. Google Chrome.
Yes, I have every browser installed as well, even Microsoft Edge. Back in 2002, there's all these usage trackers that track how many people use certain browsers, and there's a bunch out there. But back in 2012, one of these usage trackers said that Google Chrome was a champion, while many others had Internet Explorer in the lead as the most used browser on the Internet. But now it seems that all of these trackers say that Google Chrome is number one. They just recently had just beat out Internet Explorer. Well, they have Internet Explorer tapped in with Edge, so they're both together.
Right.
Yeah, so they're both together. But it looks like Chrome has 41.66% of the market compared to Internet Explorer and Microsoft Edge, who have 41.35%.
Which is actually all the more impressive because your PC does not ship with Chrome installed.
Correct. Unless it's a Chromebook.
Right. Whereas Explorer is automatically installed and uninstallable.
Yes. And what's
or not uninstallable.
If you look at the graph, it just looks like Internet Explorer is just going downhill and Chrome is just going up. And I think a lot of people these days have got the gist of, I'm going to use Google Chrome, because even like people who I know who aren't PC people, if you go on their PC, they have Chrome installed, and they're not like computer people by any means. You know what I mean?
I think they have Chrome installed for the same reason that I do. It knows all my information.
Yeah. And it's
right.
I mean, it does.
It syncs everything. I do something on my phone and it's in my computer.
But that's what's really nice, too, is that all of my bookmarks, and I know you can do this on a lot of the browsers, but all my bookmarks are there on Chrome. If I log into Chrome on a new PC, all I have to do is put in my Google ID, and all of my bookmarks are there. I don't have to export all – this is what I used to have to do before they had that feature, is you had to export all your bookmarks, put them on a flash drive, take them to the new computer, and then hit import, and import everything. All of my I can look at all of my history on any PC, and it will show the history, the browsing history of all of them. I mean, it's kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
all your passwords.
Yeah, everything.
Everything. Yeah. No matter which device you're using, so long as you're logged into your Google account, you are good to go.
Yeah. So, excuse me. Definitely cool to see a browser that kind of just came out. And I remember when it came out, people were like, okay, and a lot of people were. I was definitely excited about it. Because, you know, I had been using Firefox for forever.
Oh, yeah. Firefox is still good.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's bad.
It just doesn't have that same... And they're trying to make it more that way, I know, so I shouldn't say that it doesn't have all the same things. But I think Google is just, like, cemented there for that function, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, it's cool to see finally Google, by all trackers, is saying that they are number one. And
I wonder if they can finally optimize their software now.
They're saying that they're going to. I mean, they have over the time. I mean, I remember when you had like five or six tabs open, it was just bad.
Just wrecking your PC.
Yeah, so now, you know, you kind of... It's a lot better than what it was, and they're always obviously trying to improve it as well.
Yeah.
So our final piece of news this week, not a whole lot of news, a lot of leaks in graphics card and processors, but ADATA finally launched their XPG Dazzle LED DDR4 memory modules. I actually got to see these at CES. I did a video on it, so you guys can check that out. But these are really cool. So the XPG memory from ADATA is very, very good, very high performance memory. These Dazzle LEDs are really, really awesome. It just adds, it's like sort of like the it uses the same LED memory module technology from Avexer, so I guess they licensed that to ADATA.
Okay.
I guess because Avexer doesn't have a really big reach as far as brand.
No, not at all.
Or distribution. I think if you're not
a hardcore enthusiast, you probably have never heard of them.
Yeah, so I think that they don't have the distribution, so they're going to make, you know, a good amount of money licensing their technology. So it has that same technology that's in the Avexer memory. Obviously a little bit different implementation, but it still looks really, really great. Again, I got to see them, and that was the first thing when I walked into ADATA's booth. I walked right over because they caught my attention. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
it's not the tubes, is it?
It's not the tubes, but they're like in the top of the memory, but they're kind of built into the actual heat spreader, which is kind of cool.
Okay.
Very, very cool stuff.
Gotcha.
Yes.
And obviously I'm looking at the photo from CES, and typically the photos don't do LEDs or lighting justice. Is it really bright, or what's the... Because from the photos, it just looks like your typical LEDs.
It's kind of hard to capture it.
Yeah, it always.
It is bright. It is pretty bright. Their booth was very well lit, so it's not like you could really...
Yeah.
You know, but it is really nice memory. It is not only in, you know, obviously adding the LEDs is a great thing and all of that, but the XPG memory is very high-performance memory, too.
Okay.
So yeah, so definitely if you're looking to get some DDR4, this is one that you might want to take a look at if you like that kind of LED flashing kind of stuff. These are really cool. Yeah. So, and this isn't the first company that Avexer has licensed their technology to. I know they did it for Team Group. I forget. There might be another one that they licensed to as well. So,
okay. So yeah. Just smart.
Yes. So. That is our news for the week. I know it's a little slow news week that a lot has to do with me redesigning the website and not doing as much news. But we will have a full, awesome week for you next week. And obviously a ton of news later today. If you are, for some reason, listening to this and you haven't seen the news on NVIDIA stuff, we will have that on the site as well. But coming next week, I didn't finish it this week because I talked about it last week, is I was taking a look at the Gigabyte Bricks, which if you don't know what the Bricks is, it is sort of Gigabyte's mini PC. They're kind of one of the leaders in the market when it comes to this form factor. And I have the Skylake version, which is actually really cool. And it's super, super small. Great if you need a small, compact system that can still be quite powerful. This is definitely one of those systems, so I'll have that all for you. I'll be taking a look at Corsair's M65 Pro RGB mouse. This is their sort of like FPS style mouse, and obviously with RGB, which means that you can change the colors to any color that you want, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, for sure.
And then finally, I'll be taking a look at Fantech's Eclipse P400, which you got to see in person.
Mm-hmm.
I did not, and I haven't opened it yet. I'll be opening it later today.
Do you even know which version you have?
I have no clue.
Cool.
this is sort of different. Fantech's attempt at a more price conscious case, I would say.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
that was exactly what they were going for.
Yeah, so it's gonna be interesting because I really loved what was the Evolve series. I love.
Oh yeah,
they're not super cheap. But they're amazing cases, so
yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see what Fantech can do and the price point that they're shooting for with this case. So I will have that as well. And
I will guess it's going to be a legit entry-level case.
We talked about the Zalman Z9 Neo. I forgot to mention that we are having a contest. We're giving away two of them.
Oh, boy.
And that's going to be announced tomorrow as Saturday. But just check the site when you're listening to this. It will be on our new main, I don't know what you would call it. I guess our main section that has all of our featured stuff on it. Right on the main page. It will be featured there. Definitely check it out. It's US only, which that's not up to us. That's up to Zalman, so sorry about that. But it's a really easy contest. The way we're doing it is running on Facebook. Super easy to enter. You don't have to do really anything. We're not capturing your email or any of that stuff. It's just super easy.
Nice.
So definitely stay tuned for that next week, or I guess tomorrow as well. So we'll have all that running for you. I'm probably running for like 2 weeks, 3 weeks maybe. So definitely a lot of time to get in on that. And that's basically what we have going on next week. And that basically wraps up our podcast. But we always talk about if you did anything cool this week. Did you?
Well, I did finally watch, and I'm caught up on Game of Thrones, and... I did watch Silicon Valley. Pretty stoked on both of those. Silicon Valley feels a little bit like it's just starting to circle back around on me, but I'm still interested.
I do like it. I don't know. I hate that it's going the way that it's going.
Like, I feel like we did this already.
Yeah.
Like we built back up, and then now we're gonna like circle back around and do the same thing all over again, maybe. Or I don't know. We'll see. I'm finding it incredibly predictable.
Mm-hmm.
I saw like all these things coming from the first episode, but we'll see. It's very early and it's still an awesome show. And mostly I think that we really watch the show for the characters and the comedy and just to watch like just tech, you know?
Yeah. It's cool to see tech and to like see like the characters really capture that real tech aspect. Because if you're a computer person, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Yes. People who, especially like a lot of coders and you know, people, they have this certain, just like the way they act.
And like a vibe.
Yeah.
That we all like relate to.
Yeah. So that's what's really great about the show. So if you haven't checked out Silicon Valley, definitely check it out. Can you watch the old episodes for free or not?
I mean, I can.
But,
I guess it's not free. It's on Comcast.
I mean... Like, a lot of these services will allow you to watch the old seasons online for free now.
I don't know if they're on demand. Yeah, you can watch them for free on Comcast on demand.
No, but what I mean is, like, on HBO Online.
Oh, I don't know about that.
If you can stream it for free. A lot of these, even like Showtime and stuff, the old seasons you can watch for free now, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, it makes sense for them.
Yeah, so. If you can't, as Derek said, if you have Comcast or any other provider, see if you can catch up on Silicon Valley. Really cool show. It's all about tech. And I think, I forget what cards were in there. They had graphics cards, was it second season? And I think they were Sapphire cards? Or they might have been Gigabyte cards. I forget.
I think they were Sapphire. But he built a home server.
Yeah. So yeah, really cool. Really cool stuff. All about tech. And...
It was even like pretty close. Like they were a little off in the hardware talk, but yeah. it was really close. Like really close.
And you don't normally see that.
No.
Yeah.
So it's awesome.
So yeah. So that basically wraps it up. I really didn't do anything besides work on the site.
Well, that's fine though, because that needed to be done.
Yes.
I got one other thing though. I don't know if you saw this, but they picked the new Han Solo actor.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Alden Ehrenreich.
I don't know who that is, but I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, so that's very interesting. And they greenlighted the new Han Solo movie. So,
you know what I really like is that we talked about this. I'm thinking a couple podcasts ago is like these Star Wars movies that aren't part of the trilogies.
Yeah, they're not. Yeah,
and people are upset and mad, and there's like two sides to that argument, but I think the best thing for it is that we're getting Star Wars content.
Yeah. My only thing is just make sure it's staying true to Star Wars, because now there's a ton of directors involved now, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing too, is that that's why Star Wars is so iconic to a lot of people, is because it was done so well. And there are only three, and they are amazing, and they're very forward-thinking. Well, I mean, there was only three to begin with, and now we have a lot more. But, you know, but it's just, it's like these are really huge. And if we're going to have, you know, Star Wars movies all the time, they have to be that quality, I think.
Yeah, they have. You can do different things. It's awesome that they're going to flesh out all these different parts of the universe, right? But just make sure that you're capturing that Star Wars feel.
Yeah. And I think the latest one, Force Awakens, did. I really did like it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
And
I think things are going to get even better from here on, though.
But I like, you know, because there was a big thing about, what's the new one called?
Which one? Because there's like the Rebels one, and
the one with the girl.
The one that just came out, Force Awakens?
No, the other one, the next one.
I think that's Rebels, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's called something. Whatever that one is.
Oh, no, Rebels is the cartoon show. My bad. Yeah.
Well, whatever that one was, the biggest thing that they released a trailer on Facebook, and I was reading the comments. And the biggest thing is people are like, oh, this isn't part of the trilogy, this isn't real. But like, and a lot of people are saying, it's Star Wars content. Be happy that we're getting this content. Because if you're a Star Wars fan, there's not a whole lot of content out there as far as movies go.
Right.
You know, you do have the animated, the two animated series, which again, but it's not like a live action type thing that a lot of people want. So I think I'm happy that we're getting new Star Wars
movies. Oh, it's Rogue One.
Yeah, Rogue One, that's it.
Yeah.
So I'm happy we're getting new Star Wars content. That's the biggest thing. And again, as long as it captures the feel, I'm happy about it.
Yeah, and it's driving the entire, like, it's almost a Star Wars industry, really, at this point. But it's creating all kinds of other new things quickly, which is nice.
Yes. So that will wrap up our podcast for this week. Guys, definitely stay tuned for all the NVIDIA news, which we will have for you later today. Obviously all throughout the weekend, and definitely stay tuned for our contest with Zalman. And that is it. So until next week, we will catch you guys later.